Welcome to the show. This is your host, David Yanez, and you're listening to Midwatch with the Rev. We've been doing plenty of interviews this month, and we're trying to just get a good pick for you out there. We get so many people that have done so many great things, and we want to have them all. And it's hard to be everything for everyone, but we can all do our part. I always pick the ones that I think that I feel in my spirit that's going to be a blessing to you. That's a little bit different sometimes, and that just has a neat, unique topic on their book, and just an insight. And I love people that work together as well in doing a ministry, because I believe that's what the body of Christ needs to do, is work together to do the work of God. So I have a very special guest. Before I bring him on, our address is Revelation Ministries, P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. Again, that address is P.O. Box 5172, Kingwood, Texas, 77325. If you want to email a question or a request to the guest, you can always email us at david@revmedianetwork.com. And we have our new text updates. If you text Rev Media to 77948, you'll be caught up with all our recent guests that we have on the show, so you can see how you can get their archives and find out a little bit more about them as well. So with all that said, I'd like to introduce my guest, Mr. Lance Ford. How are you doing, Lance?
Hey, good this morning. Good to be with you.
Amen. He's written a book called The Mission Quest, Becoming a Church of the Long Run. I think we all want to do that. We all want to be a long run type ministry and everything. But before we jump into that, Brother Lance, could you just share testimony about your life and about where you are with the Lord and how'd you get into writing books?
Yeah, well, I was a church planter and a pastor for over 20 years. Grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And but made my way to Missouri. I've been in Missouri for, golly, probably the last 22 years or so, and planted a church in the St. Louis area, and then I've been over in Kansas City for about the last 3 years. Ended up planting a church that we actually started a lot of churches out of there in St. Louis, and then I moved more into coaching pastors and planters and working more in that direction over about the last 8 or 9 years. And along the way, you know, kind of some of the writing sprouted up. So I've written a few books, started writing a few magazine articles, and then it's kind of evolved into some book writing. So I spend most of my time, just like early this morning, you know, was at a coffee shop with a couple of young pastors and church planters, and that's how a lot of my days are, and I love it.
Amen. Well, that's an important calling, and a lot of people don't realize that when you're mentoring and helping other ministries, there's a lot of email and text and phone calls going on. So it becomes a very, very overtime type job versus just a full-time job. And it's amazing. So what are some of the things that the pastors, when they come to you, they see that you've been successful in doing stuff and planning churches, what are some common areas that a lot of them come to you for?
Well, you know, over the last several years, probably over the last 40, 45 years, the church growth movement, and I kind of put quotes around that, it's become kind of the thing. And you know, if your listeners are familiar with the Willow Creek reveal study that they came up with a few years ago, it's really kind of become the situation I think a lot of pastors have found themselves in, saying, hey, you know, we've built churches, we've started churches, but it's very possible to have a church that looks successful on the outside, be well attended, be growing well, but all the while not actually be making disciples, actually be making people that really are following Jesus with their day-to-day life. They've got the bumper sticker, they've got the get out of hell free ticket, but they're not really following Jesus and doing life the way Jesus would be doing it if he were them. And so that's become a huge thing, thankfully, that churches and church planters are starting to discover and saying, hey, let's don't be successful on the outside, man. Let's go for the long haul, and let's make real disciples of Jesus, because he didn't really call us. He never told us to build churches. He said that was his job. He said, I will build my church. He said, you go out and make disciples. And so we're really seeing a movement that really is getting a lot of traction that way, and it really gives me a lot of hope for the church in America.
Amen. Amen. So tell us about your book. What is it targeting? I mean, the missional quest, it could be anything. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, the Mission Quest really is, this word missional has really, got a lot of legs under it over the last 10 or 15 years. But at the same time, the word missional has kind of become, for some leaders, it's just become another paint color or just a label or a sticker that you put on what you're already doing. So the idea of missional really is missionary formation for the people of God, for everybody, not just professional, vocational pastors, but this really is about the priesthood of the believer. I grew up, like I said, I grew up in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, I was a church boy, so I grew up hearing missionaries in the summers coming and giving their. This is back. I mean, I'm almost 50, so I'm an old guy. This is back in the day when they would have those Kodak projectors that would go click, click, click.
Oh
click,
yeah, and I remember that. I'm not too far behind you.
Okay, well there you go. These carousel projectors, and they would tell their stories so you would have a guy or a family that would come from what it is that would be considered a missionary, but if you had a guy that came from El Paso, he's not a missionary.
No, I know.
I'm like a kid, even as a little kid, I'm thinking, okay, so if you go one on the other side of the border, you're a missionary, but if you're on this side of the border, you're an evangelist. And I just don't think that God looks at it that way. God doesn't have some map up in heaven that he's going, okay, you cross these borders, it makes you a missionary. He's called us all to be missionaries. And so especially now, we're in a context in America now where the church has lost home field advantage. I mean, which scholars would call that the fall of Christendom. So in other words, Christianity does not have favored status in America anymore, and it's rapidly declining. And if we want to see where our future is headed, just go to Europe, and you find all these shuttered churches, or you find church buildings that are glorious on the outside, but you go in and they've been turned into tourist attractions or bars or pubs or different things.
Wow.
Because no one shows up for church. Well, that's our future if we don't change. And so now a lot of the church growth response to that was, okay, we got to make church cooler.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we've tried that for about 25 years, and the trend is still going down.
Hmm.
So to me, it's kind of like the old Starkist tuna commercials, where Charlie always wanted to become a Starkist tuna by showing the company that he had good taste. And Starkist, of course, said, no, we're looking for tuna that tastes good. Well, I think that's what the world is looking for. They're not looking for church with good taste that's cool church. They're looking for Christians whose lives actually taste good.
They're
actually
true.
Kind and gentle and have goodness and meekness and generosity to them, and that's the Jesus that walked the face of the earth, and that's the Jesus that the church, that the world's looking for. I mean, the statistics still say people give, even non-Christ followers give a thumbs up to Jesus, but are, generally give a thumbs down to the church. Well, the whole idea of the missional quest is, well, what's behind that, and what would it look like if we all looked at our streets, look at the neighborhoods where we live, look at the places where we work, we look at the recreational areas that we play in or that we hang out in, and we said, I am a missionary called to these places. That's what the missional quest is all about, is helping pastors and leaders get their people on board to that, that missional journey, that missionary journey that we're all called to.
Amen. So what does a missional church look like right now? I mean, what should we expect when we know we're in one?
Well, I think that you hear stories, first of all. You hear stories are constantly bubbling up from people that are looking at their own lives as, hey, I'm called to live on mission. And so one of the best indicators of that, because I know a lot of pastors are always looking for metrics, and a lot of the metrics in the past are always, well, how many people show up on Sunday?
Mm-hmm.
Are the tithes good? Are we, quote, growing from that standpoint? Well, the metrics change to say, okay, if I was to look at a sampling of the average person in my church, do they know the names of the people that live in their neighborhood? Have they, in the last 6 months, how many of their neighbors have they had into their home for a meal? How many friends do they have that are non-Christians, that they actually are friends of? I mean, Jesus was the friend of sinners, the Scripture says. He wasn't the acquaintance of them. I mean, sinners ran to him. It was the religious folk that ran him out of town. You know, so that's quite a turn. I mean, that's a game changer for a lot of Christians, because a lot of Christians, unfortunately, feel like that they're not supposed to be the friends of non-Christians, but or just to a limited point anyway. But it's a missionary church or a missional church is full of people that have just as many friends that are not following Christ as they do that are following Christ. And that's the way that Jesus lived his life, because Jesus was confident that the life of God in him would overcome and actually overtake the death that was in people that weren't following Christ. And that, of course, drove the scribes and Pharisees nuts. I mean, that's what got Jesus killed.
Mm. And the religious part of everything is just we have to be out there loving the brothers and loving those that aren't saved. And I can see that's a big part of it. Tell us, how long did it take to put this book together with Brad? I know Brad Briscoe is another co-author of this.
Yeah. Brad and I work real close together here in Kansas City. I mean, we have a ministry here that we do a lot of training with a lot of men and women, and so I think the missional quest, it probably, writing books is every book is different, and actually writing with someone, for me as an author, it's harder to write with someone than to write by yourself. So. But I think Brad and I, we overlapped really well. It probably took us about 6 months after we'd kind of done our research and knew where we wanted to go to actually, get our thoughts down on paper and in a collaborative effort.
Tell us about the KC Central.
Yeah, KC Central, and when people hear that, of course, they hear the word central as C-E-N-T-R-A-L, but we kind of do a turn of phrase. We call it KC S-E-N-T-R-A-L. So the idea of is that the word mission all comes from the Latin word missio, and that's what you'll hear scholars say, missio Dei, which is the mission of God. Well, the word sent, when we read it in Scripture, and we'll read different verses that the Lord, that Jesus was sent, the Father sent Jesus, and Jesus says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's the word missio. And so that the idea of KC Central is it's a play on words. So usually you think of centralized as being here's we come together in one pocket. Well, our idea here is the thing that brings us together is the fact that the Lord sends us out into the world. That's what causes us to cluster together around that idea of mission.
Mm. I like that. I wrote it down. I'm looking at it. Now I can see sent.
Yeah, there you go.
Before I was like centralized. Ago, I'm trying to figure out what is he trying to say with this.
Yeah, it really is. It's a play on on a word that I kind of invented a word there, and so we have a conference that we do every year. We've always done it the last 3 years. We've done it here in Kansas City. It's called Centralized, S-E-N-T. But we're actually going to do it in the Dallas-Fort Worth area next year, and we do a conference that our first time in the West Coast this year in January. We'll be doing Centralized West Coast. So it's all around that same idea.
Oh, wow. And then so you got pastors coming and leaders to this conference?
Oh, yeah, from all over. I mean, we just did it here at the end of September here in Kansas City, and I think there were about six countries. Different nations represented, and I don't know, probably, I'm thinking 30, 35 states represented, and we think it'll probably grow quite a bit when we move to the Dallas-Fort Worth area compared to Kansas City, because it's so easier to get into.
Yeah, and it's more centralized, not putting a pun in there, but it is.
Yeah.
Amen. Now, with everything that everybody's going to be reading this, what do you take the reader on? What kind of journey do you take the reader on, and what kind of understanding are you trying to input in?
Yeah, well, it really starts from, I would say, from the standpoint of identity, to reshape our identity as followers of Christ, as followers of Jesus, that we're not just called to live the American dream and sprinkle a little Jesus on top of it.
you know, of just, hey, Jesus, help me be successful by being obedient to you and following your core principles or whatever. But the idea is, no, God has definitely wants us to be blessed, but he's called us to be blessed to be a blessing. It reminds me of, in fact, we used the verse out of Jeremiah 29 of the exiles to Babylon. The people of God, the nation of Israel, have been exiled. And God says, look, I want you to love the city where you're at. I want you to have a good life. He says, man, get married, have kids. You know, it was kind of the American dream type of deal. But while you do, as you do this, seek the welfare of the city where you've been sent, because in its welfare, it'll go well for you. So the idea is to say, hey, that's our identity. Our identity as Christians is not to hunker down and wait for the rapture. No, God has planted us, and he has sent us for the sake of the world. And so we're to be on mission. That's really who you're called to be. And first of all, you're a citizen of heaven. You're not an American Christian. You're a Christian that God stationed you in America. So your first identity is not as an American. Your first identity is as a citizen of heaven, and live out from that perspective. So we really lay that foundation. And then we start moving in and saying, here's what some of the rhythms can look like in your life. Start going out on mission. So, and then we add spiritual formation in that, because we're saying, you know, it's interesting because Jesus, a lot of people think about the Great Commission in Matthew 28 as Jesus said, go into all the world. Well, he definitely said that, and that is the commission, but it's interesting because after his resurrection, the disciples had gone fishing, which the text of that really, in the Greek, basically says, hey, we're going to go back to our old vocation. And, of course, a lot of people remember the story of, you know, Peter and James and John are out fishing. They look across, they look on the beach, and Jesus is doing a fish fry and invites them in. And then Jesus tells them, look, before you go, I want you to wait in Jerusalem until the power comes on you. So there's this rhythm that we see in Jesus' life throughout the Gospels and in the book of the Acts of the going, but they're constantly coming back and slowing down and being filled with the Holy Spirit over and over and over again as they go out. So we really put that piece into the book, too, to say definitely it's about going, but it's also about going in the power of God, not just on your own power.
Amen. Now, in your chapter Launchpad that you wrote, you speak of, I got to pronounce the word right, Koinonia?
Koinonia.
Okay, tell us about that. It's more than kumbaya and cookies.
Well, yeah. We say, you know, koinonia is more than just kumbaya and cookies, because the word fellowship is a very Christianese word that we all use. It's a good word. It's a darn good word. So, but a lot of times when you think of fellowship, I mean, I usually ask people, a group of people, I did it just last week, I was with a group of pastors, what comes to mind when you think of the word fellowship? Well, most people think of, you know, potluck dinners.
Yeah.
You know, I think of green bean casserole when I hear the word fellowship. You know, you'll see it coming up around Super Bowl time. There'll be flyers at the church. They'll say, hey, come watch the big game, and we'll have fun, food, and fellowship. You know, so fellowship has come to mean just kind of a get-together. And but the biblical word for fellowship is used constantly. The Greek word koinonia means fellowship, and it literally means partnership. So the idea here is that the biblical idea of fellowship was not just a gathering. It was actually a community that lived life together. So if you look in the book of Acts, you see a tightness that kind of blows our minds when we look at how these people gave their lives together. You see it in Acts 2, you see it in Acts 4, which says they didn't consider their possessions to be their own. If there was a need among them, they met it. The group itself expected that their Christian community would take care of one another. And so if there was a need to be met, if they didn't have the cash in their pocket, then they'd go around and look around the house, and they'd put stuff up for sale on Craigslist. You know, I mean, they would salvage stuff. They would do whatever it took to take care of one another. I think Francis Schaeffer, the late Francis Schaeffer, said that the Christian community is the final apologetic. In fact, it's the greatest apologetic that proves Christianity is true. It's when a watching world looks at us and says, look at their love for one another. I don't understand it. I don't know about it, but man, I want to get in on that. We've really lost that. We've replaced that with church going. We've replaced that with church services. And so we've lost so much of the power of the gospel that wasn't just a free ticket to heaven, but the gospel of the kingdom of heaven was a message that was sent to form a people, to form a community that would be good news, that would be that gospel. So, that's my quick 2 cents on what Koinonia really should be about.
Hey, that's what I was expecting from you. So you did great. So how can pastors get involved in your conferences and get into the centralized?
Yeah, well, they could go to centralizedconference.com. And once again, that's SENTRALIZED, centralizedconference.com, and find out about it. And like I said, our next one is going to be at the end of January on the West Coast. And then we'll be coming to Dallas late September 2014. And then also the book, if you're interested in the Missional Quest, it's just missionalquest.com.
That's
our website. We also do a lot of one-day training based around this book.
Oh, awesome. So it's missionalquest.com.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
Amen. I have one quick question for you, and it has nothing to do with the book or anything else. So is it Dallas or Chiefs? I mean, the Cowboys or the Chiefs? What fan?
If you look on my phone right now, there's a picture of me standing with Roger Staubach. So if you need to know anything more, that tells you right there.
Okay.
I have adopted, my AFC team is definitely the Chiefs.
Okay.
So I'm really having to focus on that, especially after this past Sunday. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. One more question about missionaries. Years ago, in the 90s, I used to be able to go into churches and, you know, easily get into almost any church talking about missions in India. I've been doing India missions for like 20 years. But the last 5 years, I'd say, man, it's hard. People don't want to hear about missions when I go into places. They don't want to. The doors aren't open as often. Was there a shift or did something happen? I'm like, what's going on? It used to be in the 90s, I could call any church and they had such a heart to reach. Of course, at that time, it was remember the 1040 window and everybody was
on pipeline? Oh, yeah. You don't even hear that term anymore.
Yeah, and now I'm like, Lord, you know, my source is the Lord. So it's like I don't depend on churches. I just like to create awareness. So I like to get in there and let them know this is what you got to pray for. You know, what pastor does and what y'all do is up to y'all. But this is what we're doing, and this is the need that we have when we're out there. And I leave it, you know, I present the need, like Oral Roberts used to say, present the need, present it to God, present it to the people, and then just go on. So, So what's your opinion? What happened in the last few years with the missions?
Well, I think part of what happened is the economy happened. And I think that, sad to say, I think it's caused people to sort of tighten up and say, you know, a lot of people are kind of in survival mode. So their idea, I think that the faith has shrunk, you know, faith in believers has shrunk quite a bit, which kind of says that a lot of the giving has been just out of the overflow rather than what we see. You know, like, you know, Paul talked about the Macedonians. He said they gave out of their need. They didn't give out of their abundance. So I think a lot of Christians have given out of their abundance rather than their need. And so there's a relearning that, hey, Christianity still has a cross to it. And we're called to pick up that cross daily. And so there's a huge relearning of the sacrifice that's attached to the calling that we have. But, you know, a lot of American Christianity has just given their extras rather than giving the best of the Lord. And so I think there's a contraction that's happened there.
Amen. Well, I'm glad I was able to ask that question because you are in more touch with a lot of more ministries and you study it and see how things are happening out there and you get your hand on the pulse as I like to say of what's happening and a lot of people haven't been able to answer that question. I'm glad you were able to, brother. Give your website one more time so everybody can know how to get your books and go to your conferences.
Yeah, you can go to missionalquest.com. The word missional. MISSIONAL, and then the word quest.com is a good place to get in touch with us. And then that'll link out or you can find our centralized conference and things like that out of that.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much for being on the air. I know we went a little bit over the time we said we were going to have, but, hey, you were doing awesome. I didn't want to stop you.
Hey, it was great to be with you. I really appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. You take care. Anytime you have anything you want to talk about, you're more than welcome to come back on the show and talk.
All right. Well, say hello to Texas for me.
All right. All right. God bless you. Take care.
Okay, bro.
Bye-bye. Amen. That was Lance Ford, and we're talking about his book, The Missional Quest. But I love just spending time with them and talking about what their heart is, which is the faith that they live and walk. And everyone teaches, we all have our own different style, and we reach different people at times. But this is something that's important, and that's the church becoming more missionary to the areas that it's in. Know the people that you're walking with in your own church, but also know the people that aren't coming to your church that are just outside the doors, just outside your door. I mean, I can give you a challenge. Go down your neighborhood, your block. How many people do you actually know? How many people do you even have, you know, a working, talking relationship with? I mean, sure, you wave at them when you're cutting your grass, or you wave at them when you're driving by. But do you know them? Do you know that when they shut that door, when they're in their home, are they hurting? Are they in need? Do they know the Lord? How many times do you think that they're going to the hospital or something? Something, a simple prayer that you can just bring in and talk with them and just pray with them about faith. You know, I was at a church Sunday. Amazing time. When I was at this church, I was just asked to talk about India and about the few of the things that are happening out there, and just the you know, cyclone field and what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And I tell you, something amazing happened, because I talked about healing. And at the end of the service, the pastor asked me if I'd pray for the sick, and I said, absolutely. And I prayed. And do you know that service went on into the second service, and then the service started again, and I prayed for so many people in the first service, and then the second service, this is a larger church, and then the second service, there was another prayer request for me to pray again. I shared again about healing, and then I prayed for them afterwards. And do you know that people were lined up all the way to the end of the church for prayer, and they're waiting, and there, I was so amazed that there is so much need of healing in the United States, in the church. And I know but the faith was there. The faith was there for those people to get their healings. And a lot of them did. A lot of them got healed. And I tell you this, my friends, we do not know what our neighbors are going through. We do not know what's happening. We do not know what's going to happen to them tomorrow. And we don't know what they're covering and what they're bearing every single day. We don't. But we do know this, my friends. We do know God. We do know Jesus. We do know that they can be blessed, that they can be touched. And we just have to be like Brother Lance Ford just shared. We just have to be open to go out there and talk to them, to invite them, to be friends to those that aren't saved, to be friends to those that aren't walking strong. And just be there for them for when they need us. When they need us, we're going to be able to be a blessing to them. Amen? Amen. Well, we're going to be right back in just a few minutes. We're going to have a little bit of commercials. And some of the infomercials. I call them infomercials, but they're really faith commercials. Faith commercials. They're going to be a blessing to you. You're going to enjoy them. And we'll be right back with Mr. Get This, Clay Cross. We got him. He'll be on the air with us in about 5 minutes. God bless. We'll be right back.
It's the best advice I've ever received about sharing my faith. Build a bridge of trust strong enough to hold the weight of the truth. I'm Perry LaHaye with Cast Yourself In. John moved to Iraq to build bridges of trust with Muslims. He became friends with a Muslim named Omar. Their first time together, Omar shared his deep anger at being raised in Islam. John shared with him that Jesus could heal his angry heart. That day, Omar's heart began to heal. The next day, John gave Omar the Gospel of John, and immediately Omar started reading it out loud. A few days later, Omar shared with John how amazed he was when he read that Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. And then came the day when Omar said to John, "I believe Jesus died for me." This Muslim man was transformed by Jesus for two reasons. John was willing to build a bridge of trust strong enough to hold the weight of the truth. And John was willing to go to the Muslim world. Take your first step to the Muslim world at frontiersusa.org. Cast yourself in.
A California school is using cattle tracking technology to keep an eye on preschoolers. But privacy advocates warn the technology actually makes students more vulnerable to kidnapping. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht, and I'll tell you more in just a moment.
Your search engine is watching you, recording all your searches, and creating a massive database of your personal information. That's creepy. But it doesn't have to be that way. Startpage.com is the world's most private search engine. Startpage doesn't store your IP address, make a record of your searches, or use tracking cookies, and they're third-party certified. If you don't like Big Brother spying on you, start over with Startpage. Great search results and total privacy. Startpage.com, the world's most private search engine.
A school in Richmond, California is embedding preschoolers' sweatshirts with tracking microchips known as RFID tags. But those chips emit radio signals that travel through walls, meaning others can track the kids too, secretly from a distance. A stalker with a reader device could park across the street and track children as they go to and from school, or even create duplicate chips that could suggest a child is still in school after being abducted. While RFID stalking is creepy, there's another serious danger, subjecting kids to total surveillance by authorities. If we're not careful, this generation will grow into adults who don't know what privacy is, or freedom either. I'm Dr. Catherine Albrecht. More news and information at CatherineAlbrecht.com.
Man is a tripartite being. He is made up of body, soul, and spirit. When God made mankind, he made man and woman in his own image. The Godhead is a trinity made up of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. These three are one in God, but distinct in their personalities. Jesus Christ became a man, the manifestation of God, and he was tripartite. However, when Jesus was a man, he was also equally God. Mankind has three distinct elements within his soul. They are his mind, his will, and his emotions. Fallen man is led by the dictates of his soul life, but he was created to be led by his spirit. Therefore, when man is born again, his spirit man is regenerated along with his soul, and the Holy Spirit walks in harmony with the spirit of man on the path that God has prepared for him to walk in.
Do you know that you are unique? That you are one of a kind? Hi, I'm Terry Squires, and I'm here to tell you today that there will never, ever, ever, ever be another you. God made you special, and He has a plan and a purpose for your life, and He wants a one-to-one relationship with you. Ephesians 4, verse 4 through 6 states, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, through all, and in all." Start today and be one with the one who knows you best and loves you most. Won't you join me today to impact the lives of others at www.terrysquires.com? Let's reach the world together, one life at a time.
Trace Embry speaks about another challenge parents face in 21st century America.
One of the many wonders of Facebook is the ability to bring those furthest from us closer to us. Unguarded, however, it too often drives those who are closest to us further from us, namely our kids. Like fire or water, Facebook can be a tool for good or a tool for destruction. Our kids need help in discerning where this line of demarcation actually is, because left unchecked, a myriad of tragic scenarios are possible. One way to protect our kids is to have unbridled access to their Facebook accounts. Oh yeah, kids and even some adults will accuse you of snooping, sneaking, spying, and even voyeurism. But what you'll actually be doing is loving them enough not to care what they think of you.
Listen to archives of our half-hour weekly version of Licensed to Parent with Trace Embry through our website, licensedtoparent.org. There's no charge, and you can sign up to receive our podcast via iTunes. Go to licensedtoparent.org. Here's Trace Embry.
Before parents can...
Recently, there's been a concerted effort to uproot America's Christian Foundation from the Puritan soil into which it was planted and to transplant it into the bitter soil of the French Enlightenment, claiming that the U.S. was never designed to be a Christian nation. The Coral Ridge Hour with D. James Kennedy will prove that it was on July 30 and 31. Of the 55 signers of the U.S. Constitution, at least 50 were Christians. At the urging of Ben Franklin, they prayed together. Even the skeptic H. G. Wells said the spirit of America is undoubtedly Christian. Even Newsweek came to the same conclusion in 1982 when it said, historians are discovering that the Bible, perhaps even more than the Constitution, is our founding document. Our own U.S. Supreme Court said this is a Christian nation in 1892. Check local listings, Coral Ridge Hour on July 30 and 31, churchofthekingmcallen.org, 866-449-KING.
Hi, I'm Peter Stanway from The Way Christian Ministries. The good Lord knows that I need encouragement. We do not serve the Lord for the acclaim or the accolades of men, but it hurts us when we are derided and scorned. The ministry of Jesus was full of miracles and multitudes. Yet, look at how quickly his followers abandoned and betrayed him. Is this what we have to expect as Christian believers in pursuit of a Christ-like lifestyle? The simple answer is yes. However, Jesus showed us...
Hallelujah, and we're back on the show, and we're excited because we have Mr. Clay Cross on the air with us. Say hi to everybody, Clay.
Hey, everybody, and David, I appreciate you having me on the show today. What's going on with you?
Oh, man, nothing much, man. We're just catching up with you because we had you at the ICRS. So those shows have aired. In fact, we just played the audio last week, and we want to really just... promote your CD, a rededication. But before we jump into that, just tell us what's been going on. I know you've been pretty busy.
I have been busy. You know, I've taken a new full-time worship pastor position here at First Baptist Church, Bentonville, Arkansas. So that is filling my days and weekends, you know, with those tasks. But, you know, I'm still traveling some and singing and doing marriage events with my wife, so... staying busy, you know.
we talked about your CD when we were there, and it was so special to you. What makes this CD special for you?
Well, because it's just been a long time since I've really done a brand new CD with new songs. I've done some compilations and some specialty CDs of hymns and, you know, worship songs and different things, but this brand new project with... except for one of them, all are brand new songs, never heard before. And so it's just a lot has been built up inside of me, and God wanted it to come out, and he provided a way for me to do this new project, rededication, this year.
How long did it take you to put this one together?
Well, when you think that the last really new project for me was 10 years ago, you might say it took 10 years. But really, once we started working on it and planning it and organizing the whole thing, you know, took probably a little less than a year.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right. So what is the songs, the types of songs that we're going to hear on this?
Well, the personal songs, you know, that come from the title track, Rededication, just comes from a realization in my life that I needed to stay close to God and intentionally keep him in my sights as I move throughout my day. So I just think there's a passion that comes through in this project, but there's all kinds of songs really on the project. I think that theme comes back to a consistency and a desire to walk close with him.
Is there any favorites on there that you have?
Well, you know, I really like the songs that we've chosen to be singles. When I Lift My Hands, and Working on a Building, both those songs, you know, really feel like came out great, and there's a freedom to them, and I'll just say an anointing on those songs, and I hope on other songs as well, but those two are really strong. The way that the project closes is strong as well, you know, with the song Good Morning Lord, very intimate song, very poignant song about waking up and intentionally saying, Lord, I want to walk with you this day and every day.
That's awesome. Now, you wear a lot of hats. You're a dad, a husband, you know, a recording artist, songwriter, praise and worship leader, entertainer, author. You know, that's a lot of stuff to do. How do you balance it all?
Well, I just you know, I'm just relying on God for all of it, you know, and all the challenges that may come my way. I just lay them at his feet as far as scheduling and trying to get things done, and the victories, I lift those and say, look what he did. So if I keep that consistency in my life of relying on him, and then when something great happens, whether it be a worship service that came across really well and people really worshiped God, I need to be quick to say, he did this, look what he did, instead of, oh, God gifted me to be able to be a great worship leader. No, it needs to continue to come back to him. So the way I balance all that is just to say, Lord, you give me these jobs, you give me these tasks, and I'm just relying 100% for you to guide me in these.
Amen. For those that don't know Clay personally, I met him at the ICRS, and we did an interview over there, you know, face to face in the studio. And he is such a humble guy, and his heart is so genuine. It's so real. We hit it off right off the bat and just start talking. And I do a lot of interviews for a lot of different celebrities, different ministries, and different things like that. And I got to say, Clay, you're one of a kind. You're very genuine. Yeah, you're just very simple in your heart, and it seems to me that you know it's all God.
I do. Well, I appreciate you saying that. You know, God's done so much work in my life in all the years that I've known him, and so any good stuff that comes out is because of him. And you know, I appreciate you saying it though.
Amen. And it's easy for the. For people, because they see your records go number one, they see that you're up there and you're leading a huge congregation in worship. They see that you're on TV and that you've written a book as well. We'll get into that in just a minute. But it's easy for them to puff you up. It is. It's easy for them to lift you up. But I'm glad that you can stay humble and just say, no, I give the glory to the Lord. Because a lot of times, you know, we can get caught up in our own fame.
Right. Well, people get excited, you know, when they get around someone that maybe they've heard of, or, you know, it's just our society. There's a certain fascination with famous people. When you walk through the, you know, when you check out at the grocery store, there's magazines all over with all the really famous people in the world. And people, I don't know, people are just fascinated with that. So even someone in Christian music, you know, they're like, oh, I've heard of you, and I remember your songs. And, you know, so there's a enthusiasm there. And the important thing as a leader in ministry, whether you're a local pastor or someone, you know, when you're in front of people, the important thing is just to keep pointing them back to him.
Amen.
And like you mentioned that I'm a humble person, and you know, God just reminds me often that that's the way I need to carry myself, because there's the true strength when you just keep deflecting it back to him. So, you know, that's what I try to do.
Amen. Well, I recognized that right away. You know, at the ICRS, you've seen how busy I was with people outside my door and walking by.
Yeah.
Everybody trying to get inside to do the interview and stuff. But that was God. I mean, I push myself out of it and put the Lord in it all the time, like you as well. But I noticed right away you were just content. You're like, how long do you need me to wait? I can wait a little longer. I'm like, no, you're Clay Cross. You're coming in right now.
Well, if I recall, the football player Brian Bosworth was right before me. Am I right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't want to rush him. You know, it's a big dude.
Yeah, I was like looking at him. I was like, good Lord, this guy. I got to widen the camera for us. And then the camera was so wide, but we had Clay in there. It's like, oh, we're losing you, Clay. I got to bring the camera back in now. it was like opposites, totally opposites. Like,
really?
But your heart's awesome and stuff, and that's good. How's your family doing? How's everybody doing?
Oh, we're doing great. You know, this has been a good move for us. We're lifelong Tennesseans, and for the most part lived in Memphis, Tennessee. But to move up here to Northwest Arkansas, to Bentonville, Arkansas, it's been great. You know, it's such a safe and clean community here, and a kind community. And we're thankful that this is where God sent us in this church, First Baptist Church. You know, everyone's been so kind to us that we just feel extremely blessed for this new season in our ministry.
Amen. You know, I tell everybody this, Clay. That when you are in the will of God, decisions are easier. It's not going to be hard, and there's going to be joy where you're going. So, and that I believe that's happening for you right there. You're in the will of God, and it wasn't a hard decision for you, I don't think, to take that and move forward with that. And that's awesome, brother. Tell us about Holy Homes Ministries.
Yeah, you know, that's mainly a marriage ministry. That's we go out and me and Renee, we share our testimony about God, what God has brought us through in our marriage and the victories that we've seen. So we share that with other people and go in and do seminars and do, you know, how to have a home that's set apart and special and rare for God's glory. And we call that ministry Holy Homes because I think God is calling our Christian homes to be special and rare and set apart for His glory. And all those point to the word holy, and that's what He's calling us to.
Amen. And you really point them to get a close relationship with the Lord. And you encourage non-Christian homes to come to know Christ. That's even better because a lot of times some ministries are just geared towards Christian ministry, helping other Christians, which is good. But you do also evangelize. That's an awesome. Do you have any testimonies from those things that you can share?
Oh, man. We get them all the time.
Tell us a couple, remember, brother.
Well, I remember once in South Carolina, a man, you know, reaching out to us after the event. And he sent me an email just saying that he and his wife were going through a terrible time, and she just laughed at him when he suggested that they go to this seminar. But she went, you know, kind of half-heartedly, and God really began to soften her heart. And when he got there, he realized that he wasn't even a Christian at all, and he asked Christ to forgive him and come into his life. And the turnaround in that man's life has been remarkable. He's kept in touch with us since then, and he's just a great encouragement to us, you know, to keep doing this, because we have stories like that over and over everywhere we go. The honesty that we share our testimony with, it encourages other couples to look at their lives, recommit their marriage to Christ, and so it's been powerful. It really has.
That's amazing. So, how often do you hold these events?
Well, we try to get out, you know, at least once a month out there somewhere, share a testimony with the group, do an event. You know, I'm busy singing certain places and obviously leading worship here with my full time job at the church. But you know, we're busy. You know, when you put it all together, the things that God has for us to do, as well as raising our family and, you know, continuing to have a solid marriage for Christ, it's all more than a full-time job.
Oh,
wow. Commitment.
Oh, I bet. That's amazing. Tell us about your book.
The book is called Dashboard Jesus.
That's a cool name.
There was a time in my life where I literally attached a little Jesus figurine to the dashboard of my car. I know that sounds crazy, it sounds extreme, but I was desperate. I was desperate to put reminders in my life of him.
Was it a bobblehead?
Yeah, it was. I was in his word every day and in prayer and had wise people around me, but I just put that little dashboard Jesus on the dashboard of my car, and I kept it on there for several years and replaced it one day with just a scripture. But, you know, the idea is that we men need reminders in our lives. And so this book is just a series of reminders about vital areas, how we carry ourselves in the workplace, how we're raising our children, how we're treating our wives. Are we in God's Word? Are we praying? You know, it's Christianity 101, but I tried to write it in an honest and humorous way. And I'm very thankful for that book.
How long has that one been released?
It came out earlier this year, and it's available on my website, claycross.com, available on Amazon as well, so people can pick that up, you know, online.
Oh, amen. So what's up next for you this year? I mean, it's closing pretty quick. So it's been busy. It went by quick this year, didn't it?
Oh, the older you get, it's like just flies by. I remember always hearing older people say that, and I never understood what they're talking about until I'm now with them, you know. So it does go by fast, but you know, closing in on Christmas and planning, you know, the Christmas season with my church here, and planning next year our travel dates that we're going to be on the road, and just you know, just relying on God the whole way, and thankful for the opportunities He's given us.
Hey, amen. So, anything special coming up for Christmas for you guys?
Well, being with the family, you know, and now it'll require traveling back to Tennessee to see our extended family. We'll be that family that travels, you know. We never were that, really. We pretty much stayed in Tennessee. now living over here in Northwest Arkansas, it's going to require us to be the, you know, the traveling family on Thanksgiving and Christmas, and it's going to be nice, though. We're looking forward to it.
Hey, man, tell us about Holt International Adoption.
Well, man, they have done great work around the world of facilitating international adoptions for families for the past 50 years. So we're thankful to be spokespeople for them. And, you know, God has blessed me and Renee with four children, and two of them God gave to us biologically, and then two more through international adoption. So, you know, we have two children that we adopted from China, a daughter and a son, and we just want to tell others the great blessings that come with adoption. And I know so many people that are thinking about it and praying about it, and we just encourage them to go that next step and save a child, you know, bring a child home with them, you know, from another part of the world, or really domestically as well. So adoption is obviously near and dear to the heart of God, considering the number of times he mentions it in his word. So it's just something that we're thankful to share with people, and Holt is a great organization to get involved with. Holt International Adoption.
Amen. And I'll tell you what, if I'm sure you're familiar with the Jewish custom of adoptions. You can send a natural child away and disown them, but if you adopt a child in the Jewish custom, you can never, ever let that child go. You have to have that child forever.
Wow.
So that's something that I've learned, and that's just how much God's love is for us. We don't realize that, but, you know, by adoption, he took us all in.
He did.
He can never, ever get rid of us. And that's an amazing, amazing thing. I'm checking out your website. It's pretty cool. You got a pretty cool website.
Oh, thank you.
So what's your next, you got another concert coming up or anything?
Nothing really for the next few weeks or months, but God will have me out there soon. And, I just look forward to every opportunity he gives me.
You sound like me, Clay. It's like when I go and I travel a lot too, as far as just ministry stuff, and I just can't. Sometimes it's like, you know, when you're not traveling, everybody's, when are you going out next? When are you going out next? And you're like, oh, I'll be out soon enough.
Hey, with this full time job I have now, I'm not getting asked that too much. I'm busy here, but you know, I still look forward to the road dates.
Oh wow! So how's the CD playing on the stations and stuff? What's the response been out there?
You know, there's certain stations here in America that are playing it, and it's actually really taken off in Australia as well, which is such an interesting thing. You know, you don't think of something like that, but it's been promoted to Australia, and they're resonating with it every bit as much as here in the United States.
Oh, that's good. That's good. There's John Slitt was on the show with me a few weeks ago, and his music's taken off overseas as well. Over here in the U.S., maybe not as much, but they're just in Russia, in the Ukraine, all those areas, his music's taken off as well. People still, they're wanting it. I mean, whether it's here or wherever, it's God's got a will for where that song's going to play. So it's gonna,
right? I agree.
It's gonna happen, man. I love to play it on our music channel. We have an internet music channel as well. I'd love to play your CD here for you as well, and get you some publicity on that for you.
Well, I appreciate that, David. I do.
Amen. And so, tell us what's coming up. Any more books? Any more albums you're working on?
Just continuing on with the work God gives me here at the church, and tour dates. No new recordings are being planned right now, but that's the kind of thing you just never know. God may inspire me. God may provide a way, and something will happen. But, you know, Renee and I are busy writing. We do blogs. We do different things online. So life is busy. God's in control and leading us every step.
Amen. Well, brother, tell everybody how they can go to your website and how they can be part of what you're doing.
Yep, claycrosse.com. That's claycrosse.com is pretty much information central for me, letting people know where I am on the road, what projects I have, what things I have for sale, things like that, what ministry resources. So check me out there, claycrosse.com, Facebook too, man. I'm all over Facebook, so anyone can go on there and talk to me. I'm approachable to anyone that likes me. So, you know, I'm just I'm blessed. I'm very blessed to be able to talk to you today and to be able to do ministry.
Amen, brother. Well, I appreciate you coming on the air with us and being a part of the broadcast and everything. It's always good to have people with the good hearts and just faith. I get so many calls. You know, when I built this, Clay, it was nothing. I started with nothing with it, but I kept on building it and believing that God will just take it somewhere. And now I used to have to make calls to get people on the air with me, and now my whole inbox is full with requests, and I pick the best, and I pick the ones that I know that are going to be a blessing to everybody and that are promoting Jesus. And that's how
I hear you.
That's what I do, try and do the best. And you know, God's the only one that can lift you up, and he can take a kingdom and take it down a day, and he can lift up a kingdom in a day. And I got to say, to be honest, it's been the Lord the whole ride. And I'm sure that's in your life as well. It's been the Lord the whole ride. Nothing special that you could have done. Only God could have got you to the right places at the right time to be a blessing to
us. No doubt.
And amen.
No doubt about that.
Amen, brother. Thank you so much for being on the air. I'm going to play one of your songs. I'm probably going to play when I lift my hands so they can. We're going to end with that. But I'll give you a call back,
David,
in a few minutes when I close the show just to tell you thanks again, okay? All right. God bless.
Appreciate you, brother. Talk to you.
Okay, all right. Bye. Thank you. Bye. Amen. That was our brother Clay Cross. And I tell you what, he's just an amazing, amazing person. And we are excited that he's here, that he's part of the broadcast with us. I'm trying to load a song. I thought I had this stuff already on the system, but it's not. It won't take but a second. I'm going to play one of his songs as we exit the broadcast. And we're going to do that real quick. As soon as the CD loads, we're going to play the song for you. I wish it would have been more professional for you. Hey, but if you've been listening, you know how that is. You know how I am. So praise God. You know, that's fine how it goes. And hopefully this thing loads. It should load anytime. Anyway, I want to thank both my guests, Clay Cross and Lance Ford, for being on the broadcast. Go to clayclarks.com and visit and see his stuff that he has there. And also go to Lance Ford's themissionalquest.com, and you'll be able to do that and listen to him. Anyway, here's Clay Cross. This is from his album, Rededication, When I Lift My Hands. God bless. We'll see you next time on The Midwatch.
Jesus, you're the reason that we gather here today. And Father, it's for you each time we lift a song of praise. But still I want to show you more with everything I am, that my heart longs for you. When I lift my hands, I'm reaching for heaven. When I lift my hands and call out your name, I surrender everything I am and all I do. When I lift my hands, my Lord, you're the promise and the hope that gets me through each day. And you provide the strength I need to walk within your way. And I could never fully know the depth of who you are, but I will try.
The views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this station, this show, or its host.